Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people and using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org, through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process and or they've been calling in with powerful testimonials about how the actual use of these tools has improved the quality of their life. You can go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often because it frequently leads to comments and questions, testimonials. If you have any of those to share with us, give us a call. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, and it'll put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. We appreciate when people do that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work, and our intention with this work is to be of service. How can we be of service to you? We are working through the Way of Mastery since January 10th of this year, and I will remind us that those files, edited to just include the first hour of Mind Shifters Radio, have been isolated out, edited, so that only the first hour is there, and put on this mindshiftersacademy.org website under a page, the title that reads, Way of Mastery on Mind Shifters Radio with Commentary. So if you want to review any of these, they're easy to find. We are working our way through in some would call slow, some would call methodical fashion. We've been through Lesson 1 and Lesson 2 numerous times since January 10th. And yesterday we just read the first two pages of the third lesson. And I was giving some history of my experience with this work and what allowed me to feel completely comfortable including it in the body of work that Dr. Michael Rice has presented in the MindShifter support groups and on MindShifter Radio. And that is that the definition of forgiveness that is put forward by the Course in Miracles and by Dr. Michael Rice with his work with the Kabbalah's manuscript is that forgiveness is a tool for me to go inside myself and remove whatever energies don't belong there. Forgiveness is an understanding that I create my own perception, and when I create a perception of something that's less than love, I'm the one who needs to make a correction inside me, inside my perception, inside my mind energy, inside my belief system, inside the trauma energies that I carry. And when I have made those corrections, when I have removed that whatever the data points are that lead me to a negativity or the interpretation that I place on the data points, maybe the data points are accurate, but I choose a filter or an interpretation of them that is leading me to that negative emotional state. And when I correct that, when I clear that up, when I remove that, when I cancel that, when I put that down, all of these are various words relating to the process of forgiveness. Shebagging, canceling, dropping, putting down, dismantling, all of those are words that relate to an internal process for me to get rid of energies within me that lead me to a negative experience of life, a negative emotional state, etc. That's exactly what I found in the Way of Mastery and in the third lesson. And I talked about how my efforts on MindShifters Radio and in the MindShifter support groups are to make these tools available, these very practical, powerful, effective, efficient tools, and they're some of the most practical, power, efficient, effective, accessible tools, accessible because they're on the internet for free on whyagain.org. Some of them are available at mindshiftersacademy.org, but it's the same work. My intention in supporting this and the support groups and MindShifters Radio is to make these tools available to more and more people because they are so effective and because they are so powerful without the need for lots and lots of years of training and experience or some creative genius to be holding your hand as you go through the process. If you pick up the Reality Management Worksheet process, you will be effectively applying all the wisdom of Way of Mastery Lesson 3 to every upsetting situation in your life. And when you do that, you know, when you read as we did yesterday in the first two pages of the Way of Mastery third lesson, to forgive means to choose to release another person, another entity, some outside interaction from the perceptions I have been projecting upon them. It's got nothing to do with the outside person. It's got to do with my internal projections, my perceptions that I then project onto my image of the person outside of me. Forgiveness, therefore, is an act of dismantling one's own self-created perceptions, dismantling my projections. And as I begin to forgive or dismantle those false perceptions, even 70 times, seven times, each time I do that and dismantle my false perceptions, I take myself deeper into the purity of my own consciousness. I get to see more of what I have been doing with my process of perception. I begin to see how profoundly I've been coloring and therefore affecting all of my relationships. I may have been blind to it, but through the simple act of not being aware of the power of projection and how much I was projecting and how much I was creating every image that I perceive of another person, I have been sometimes absolutely related only to my fantasy of another person and not really in a relationship with them at all. This is one of the things that Krishnamurti would call us to. Very few people have actually ever been in an interaction with another person. Most of us spend most of our time interacting with our fantasies about other people, with our perceptions, with our projections of other people, the distortion of how we want them to be. To forgive means to choose to release another from the perceptions you have been projecting upon them. This is the definition of forgiveness. Go into your own mind, your own heart, your own energy system, and remove the false perceptions and projections. Release other people from responsibility for the perceptions you have created and projected upon your mind's image of them. And the more I do that, the more I clear up the false perceptions in my mind, the deeper I take myself into the truth of the purity of my own consciousness. And I begin to see, oh my gosh, that person didn't make me angry. I created anger, and my mind showed me all kinds of ways to perceive that they were the cause of my anger. The book goes on to say, therefore I learned, and I learned well, that forgiveness is an essential key to healing. The opposite of forgiveness is judgment. Judgment in any form, at any level. Judgment assumes contraction. Judgment assumes knowing, believing. The opposite of forgiveness is judgment. Judgment always creates separation and guilt. Judgment. I know I'm right and you're wrong. I know I'm wrong and you're right. Now I have created separation and guilt. And whenever I judge, that will evoke a sense of guilt in whoever I have judged, unless they are completely, perfectly awake. And they realize the truth of their life is the same as the truth of my life, that we are both emanations of the one mind and the creative flow. But unless they're in that space, when I set up a judgment of them and they hold some energy of guilt or shame or judgment in themselves, my energy of judgment is going to resonate their energy of judgment. Goes on to say, but even more than this, each time that I judge anyone or anything, I literally elicit guilt within myself. When I have removed all of the thoughts of guilt and shame from myself, there won't be the energy that allows me to choose a judgment. It won't resonate and it won't happen. So if I'm judging, it means I'm holding a thought of blame or guilt or shame within myself, and that's what's causing me to choose judgment in that moment. Because there is a place within you that still knows the perfect purity of your brother and sister, and it sees quite clearly that all things within the human realm are either an extension of love or a cry for help and healing. There is that part of us. That part of you is the part of you that would have you listening to a teaching like this. that part of you knows it and yearns for a way to keep your awareness focused upon that. There's a part of you that knows that when you judge, you have moved out of alignment with what is true. You have decreed that the innocent are not innocent. And if you would judge another as being without innocence, you've already declared that this is true about you. Right? This is back to the essence of the physicists that say everything is connected, we are connected, everything is energy and all energy is connected, Indra's web, going back to ancient Indian mysticism, the web of life. We are connected. So if I want to judge anybody else as being bad or wrong or guilty, it means I'm acting from that space within myself that feels I'm bad or wrong or guilty. And as soon as I judge another as being without innocence, I've already declared that I'm without innocence. Therefore, to practice forgiveness actually cultivates the quality of consciousness in which you finally come to see yourself as innocent. You finally come to dismantle any judgment that's negative against yourself. You finally come to use the process of forgiveness to remove every thought of hostility or fear or judgment or lack or shame or guilt from your own consciousness. And you take yourself deeper into the purity of your own consciousness. And it is, indeed it is the forgiven who remember their creator, who see clearly the connection of all things. They're seeing from and seeing only the one mind, the Christ mind. When I've removed everything that's unlike a Christ mind thought, that's what's left, the Christ mind thought. In this chapter, in this lesson, we wish to share with you the power of forgiveness, how to cultivate it, how to refine it, how to understand the depths of it that can be revealed to you as you forgive 70 times, 7 times. And how to bring up within you that which has not yet been forgiven, but perhaps forgotten. In this lesson, we will also speak of what perception is and what projection is. Beloved friends, these things are of critical importance for anyone who enters into a so-called spiritual path. They must eventually face and deal with their deep need for forgiveness, which is an expression of the soul's deep desire to be forgiven. Use the definition of forgiveness, which is removing false perceptions, dismantling false perceptions. Every individual aches to be able to clearly perceive themselves accurately as a part of the mind of God, as a part of the flow of creation, as a part of the energy of creation expressing in form. And everything that's less than that needs to be dismantled, dropped, seen as false, forgiven, shebagged, removed, put aside, etc. For there is no one who walks this earth who has not been touched by the poison of judgment. Judgment is the opposite of forgiveness. That was already clearly stated. Now they're stating clearly, judgment is a poison. I move to say here, this is different than discernment. Discernment lets me look at the wall and see that it's an off-white color with yellow and some tan color in it, and the door that's brown, and the chair that has a cranberry-colored fabric on it, and the other chair across the room that has a faux deep brown leather color to it. I can see the difference in these colors. That's discernment. There's no judgment involved in that. There's just discernment. I'm not saying the cranberry-colored chair is the pretty color and the dark brown chair is the ugly color and the dark brown door is bad or wrong because it's not the same color as the wall. I'm just noticing differences. That's discernment. Judgment puts me in contraction. Judgment puts me in tension. Judgment puts me in resistance and the creation of a belief of separation. Judgment is the opposite of forgiveness, and judgment is poison. So these are the two things we're learning about this in the third chapter, in the third lesson of the Way of Mastery. Now, as we speak of these things, hear it yet again. This is only the third lesson, and already this is the third or fourth or fifth time it's saying, don't get too serious about this. The next, right after it says, there is not a person who walks the earth who has not been touched by the poison of judgment. That sounds really harsh, really intense. Boy, that's important. The very next words in this lesson are, as we speak of these things, do not let seriousness enter your mind. Beat yourself up because you notice you've judged. Don't point a finger at somebody else who's judging. Don't think just because you're in judgment, you've ruined something and you can't get back to peace or love. Just notice it with childlike innocence and playfulness. For in truth, all we're really doing here is describing what you need to do and what you can do to release the burden of illusion. We're just helping you see how you can put down the burden, put down the seriousness, put down the judgment, put down the dream of separation. Beloved friends, these things are of critical importance. But as we speak of these things, let not seriousness enter your mind. For in truth, all we are really doing is describing what you need to do and what you can do to release the burden of illusion that comes to you when you feel a heaviness upon your countenance and a sense of a lack of safety in the world. You are perfectly safe. You cannot be attacked because you are part of what is real. Nothing that's real can be attacked. That's right out of the very first lines of the Course in Miracles. Nothing unreal exists, and nothing real can be attacked or damaged or hurt in any way. All we're doing here is describing what you can do, what needs to happen, but you can do it to release the burden of illusion that is in you that seems to cause you to feel a heaviness and a sense of a lack of safety in your word, in your world. It is self-induced nonsense. There's an acronym for SIN, S-I-N. It's a personal process that you have access to. You could think of this as taking your rheostat and turning it up a bit by enlightening you, taking the burden of guilt and judgment away from you, letting you put down the process that generates guilt and judgment. Once you recognize it's happening inside you, it's been programmed into your mind, into your intellectual mind. Back in lesson one or two, it said, look, this is not an intellectual process. We're talking about the pathway of the heart. The way of the heart is about learning to tune into your awakened heart. It's a feeling pathway. It's not an intellectual pathway. What your intellectual mind, what your ego mind can do is simply regurgitate what's been poured into it, like garbage into a garbage can. How many times have you ever heard Dr. Michael Rice talk about, we've got all of these layers of generations of corrupt data and viruses in our human mind computer and trauma and war and disappointment and broken hearts and relationships and betrayal and lies, and all of that we get as a deal from our bloodline, energetically, from energy and genetics, And this is simply saying, that's not all you are, and you don't have to focus on that, and you don't have to use that as your guide. There's the awakened heart, and that was meant to be your guide. That was meant to be your way home. Your intellect was never meant to be your master or your guide. It was just there as a servant, a very simple, auto-process repeating servant. What it can be used for, the intellectual process, the egoic mind, can be used to observe how it keeps itself trapped. It can be observed that I'm doing the same kind of thing over and over and getting the wrong results, and then maybe I will choose to put that down and open to something else. That's what happens every time I do a reality management worksheet. I map out in the first three phases, the first three steps of the worksheet, what my conscious logical mind is doing to create the perception that is generating the negative emotional state within me, and then I cancel it all. I cancel what my mind says has to happen to fix it, and I put it all aside and I ask for something else to happen. I ask to be shown something. From what? From God, from light, from love, from the great comforter, from Holy Spirit, from the awakened heart, from my own heart center, which is in constant connection to the source of creation and the mind of the Creator. So we wish to share with you the power of forgiveness, how to cultivate it, how to refine it, how to understand the depth of it. And what can be revealed to you as you forgive over and over and over again when anything unlike love comes up. How to bring up within you anything unlike love that needs to be dismantled. And maybe you didn't realize it was within you. Maybe you have forgotten that you're carrying these burdens of judgment and guilt and shame and pain. And as you bring up that stuff, we will talk to you about how to dismantle it, how to put it down, how to correct your perception. And we'll speak to you of perception and what it is and what projection is. So, beloved friends, while these things are of critical importance, let not too much seriousness enter your mind. Be at play in the kingdom. Because while anybody who enters into a so-called spiritual path must eventually face and deal with their deep need to dismantle false perceptions, their deep need for this process of forgiveness and dismantling that which isn't true, that comes from their soul's deep desire to dismantle everything that's not true, to apply the tool of forgiveness in their mind, in their heart, until they have direct, easy, conscious awareness of their true nature. For there is no one who walks this earth who's not been touched by the poison of judgment. Oh, there's that word poison. Sounds really bad, but don't get too serious about this. Do not let too much seriousness enter your mind. For in truth, all we're really doing here is describing what you can do to release the burden of fear and of attack and judgment that creates a heaviness upon you and a sense of a lack of danger in the world or a lack of safety in the world, that there's a danger out there. We're here to help you put that aside. You could think of it as taking your internal rheostat and turning it up to lighten up, lightening you up, taking the burden of guilt and judgment away from you, helping you put down your process within you that creates the sense of guilt and judgment. Therefore, in truth, understand well, forgiveness is essential. What has not been forgiven in others has not been forgiven in you. What has not been dismantled in your false perception, what has not been seen as a false perception in your own mind and then projected onto others, will continue to create negative emotional states within you. It will continue to present you with false pictures of life. But this is not a process of forgiveness that someone outside of you, like your Creator, does. For your Creator never judges. The awakened heart, the creation itself, allows all things, trusts all things, embraces all things, and that's the pathway to transcend all things. The Creator inside you never judges. What you have not forgiven in another or in the world is but a reflection of what you carry within you as a burden that you have yet to forgive within yourself. Every perception you have of pain or fear or guilt or shame is within you, and it's a false perception, and here are the tools for dismantling it. You have an interesting saying in your world, quote, it takes one to know one, close quotes. Do you think you would even be able to judge another if there was not something within you being elicited that triggers within you the belief that you know exactly what that other one is up to? That is why you judge them. Sometimes you judge harshly because you fear that energy within yourself, or you remember how hurtful you have been when you acted from that energy. But when you've dismantled those false perceptions within yourself, rest assured, you will know what it means to walk in this world and not be of this world. You will be able to feel the energy or the activities that any other soul may freely choose. You will discern that energy without judgment, just discerning it, seeing it, feeling it. You will understand that energy, and you will see through it and still see the face of Christ before you and your brother or sister. You will see everyone and everything around you as an extension of the creative energy, of that loving energy expressing in form. That's what will happen when you continually apply forgiveness to every thought within your mind that leads to a judgment or a negative conclusion or a negative emotional state. You will not react, which literally means to act again as you did in the past. Instead, even if you're being persecuted, or to speak from personal experience, to be nailed upon a cross, even if you are being persecuted, you will have cultivated the ability to tune into your true nature as love, to extend that love to others. And in all situations, no matter what another person is doing, your first response will be to enter into the quiet stillness within your mind and merely ask for your source, your creator, your awakened heart, your Holy Spirit, the great comforter, merely ask, whatever names you call it are not relevant, ask this question, what would you have me say? What is most important for this other soul in this moment? How can I be a blessing to myself and others in this moment? What's mine to do here? Ask that question, even if you're feeling persecuted. Even if someone is offering offense, feel free not to take it. You're the one that creates the sense of offense in your life. Please don't take offense, even if it's offered. That's the wisdom in this work. For when forgiveness has purified the mind and the heart and the emotional feel of your own being, in other words, when that process of removing everything that's unlike love from your mind and your heart and the emotional field of your being, you will discover that you exist only to extend love, the energy of creation that you are expressing in form. That's your only reason to exist. The book goes on to say, you are the savior of the world. In each situation, your role is to ask the awakened heart, God, light, love, Holy Spirit, name it what you will, how you can serve the atonement, the correction, the healing that needs to be acquired within another soul. So even if someone hates you, you will not respond with defensiveness. You will respond with curiosity, with innocent witnessing. Even if your hands have nails going through them, I tell you truthfully, it is possible to still enter the quiet sanctuary of the heart and ask of the Holy Spirit, ask of your awakened heart, ask of your source, God, light, love, your creator, what would you have me say or do that can serve the healing of my brother or sister and their heart in this moment? All that we will be sharing with you, not just in this lesson, but in this course, has as its final goal your complete Christed consciousness and the fulfillment of what your own soul desires, the removal of everything less than love, forgiveness in its truest sense, the dismantling of any false perception, the dropping of the process of projection. Please do not let too much seriousness enter your mind. This is a process of removing from your mind-body-energy system, which includes your energetic bloodline, all of the perceptions that would lead you to a negative emotional experience, a judgment. Judgment is the opposite of forgiveness. Judgment is a poison. Judgment is the seed of the belief in separation, which is the source of your pain and suffering. Why are we reading this over and over again? Why are we slowing down? Because the purpose of this course is to help you complete the movement into full awake and aware Christed consciousness and the fulfillment of what your soul, capital S soul, in your deepest part of your mind that rests right next to the heart and mind of the Creator, what that soul desires, which is the ability to see accurately, true perception, that spiritual faculty of true perception, to be able to see the shimmering radiance that underlies everyone and everything that you look at here in time and space, to see the energy of creation, love, light, emanating through the veils that you have created in your perception. How and why have I created veils of perception? Because I'm part of a bloodline that comes through trauma. I have, as I sit here now, I've got my father's father was born 1876. They were wrapping up the Indian Wars. They were, they were getting ready for World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, Vietnam. All of these things are immediately in my bloodline. Born into a culture that was founded on genocide of an entire indigenous people, completely hidden from us, deceit, violence, domination, that's in my bloodline. That's in the language. That's in the silliness that I was taught as American history. All of that is in my bloodline. And yet, the truth of lesson 3 remains true, always. Back to the beginning of lesson 3, this is how I talk to people about, I think of the Course in Miracles as a wonderful teaching tool, and I think of the Way of Mastery as a kinder, gentler version of that. Why? Because in primary example of that, these first two paragraphs of lesson 3. If I search the languages of your world, I cannot find the words that can convey the love that I feel for you. I cannot find the words that can convey unto you the love that God, the creative process, has for all of us. I cannot find a concept, a word, an idea, a philosophy, or even a dogma that can contain the mystery that is closer to you than your own breath and awaits your discovery. Yes, even though you're full of all of this violence and genocide and wars and dream of separation and depression and anger and attack and judgment and guilt, even with all of that, if I search all of creation, if I search through the many mansions that exist within the domains of my Father's creation, and by the way, that creation is infinite, try as I might, I cannot discover anything that can truly describe you. I cannot find anything that is of greater value than you, even loaded with all of your misperception and all of your sadness and fear and guilt and shame. I cannot find anything that is of greater value than you. In truth, I cannot discover anything that speaks more eloquently of the love of creation, of the love that God is, than your very existence. Therefore, in truth, I look upon you constantly and marvel at the radiance of my Father's love, of the love of creation. It is through you and your extension of the creative energy in form that I discover all that God and all of creation is. When I walked upon the earth as a man, I began to realize that the greatest gift I could ever receive would only come as I choose to surrender every perception that I might conjure up about you as my brother or sister that would hide from me your shimmering radiance as an extension of the creative energy and form. The greatest gift I could ever receive will come to me only when I learn to see the truth that is true always, that everyone and everything that I see is a creative miracle expressing in form. One more time, that little paragraph. When I walked upon the earth as a man, I began to realize that the greatest gift that I could ever receive would only come to me as I chose to surrender every perception that I might conjure up about you or any other brother and sister that would hide from me, that would veil the truth that is true about you always. What is that truth? You are the extension of the creative energy and form. You have never been separate or separated from your Creator. It's not possible. You do have the ability to create the dream of separation, a false perception, but you cannot be separate. The book goes on to say, when I was 9 years of age, I began to awaken to exactly what I'm describing to you. And as my father would take me to sit with the elders, and as he would read from the Torah to me, I began to be compelled by something within myself, an energy of movement within me. Something began to speak to me. Something began to reveal to me that underneath all of the perceptions that I could create of another person, there was something radiant and shimmering waiting to be discovered. I began to feel very different from my peers. I began to be preoccupied with inner things. When I listened to the elders speak, I would often feel as though I had drifted far away from where they were. Pictures would come to me. Thoughts would come to me. And feelings would come to me that I did not understand, that I had not assimilated into my being. However, something began to compel me. I thought, how might I discover how to see only that shimmering radiance? Would it be possible for me to see my brothers and sisters as the Creator sees all of us, as his or her offspring? I discovered the way to see with the eyes of Christ begins with the acceptance that I, as a creator, because I'm created in the image of the creation itself, I literally choose every experience and every perception I have, and I call it to myself. I'm the one that's creating the veils that keep me from seeing that shimmering radiance. I create the veils through which I view creation. So here I am, wanting to see only the shimmering radiance and unwittingly engaging in a process that hides the shimmering radiance from me. So again, I began to shift my perception slightly, and I began to be seen as someone who was rebelling against the teachings of my Essene elders. For I began to move away from striving for God, striving for perfection, and I began to cultivate within myself the process of allowing what was already there to come forth, to be directly experienced by myself. I discovered that if I looked upon my perceptions, my feelings, my behavior, exactly as they were, without overshadowing them with my interpretations, if I could teach myself to embrace things with innocence, allowance, acceptance, surrender, that's when the veils began to be dissolved from my mind. Oh, we're all in this together. Oh, I have upset coming up within me. How must I be creating that? How am I hiding from myself my true nature as the radiance of the creative energy expressing in form? I began to realize that when I was already just 9 years old, I'd already learned to be fearful of thinking or speaking or acting in a way that was out of conformity with the prevailing wisdom of that time. Because even then, in the Essene community, they had become rather rigidified. There was already much dogma, and let us say it again, dogma, belief, religion always leads to bickering. It's judgment. A dogma is a judgment. An unquestioned belief is a judgment. A belief is a judgment. When I was 9, I began to discover that if I looked with innocence upon all things, a light began to shine through the things I was looking at. And as I rested more and more in this innocence, more and more of the light would shine through. More and more as I caught my judgment, more and more as I recognized the patterns of thought that had been trained into my intellectual mind, conditioned into me, I saw them innocently for what they were, I began to see what was underneath them. As I grew in age, I discovered that the old teachers who spoke of the need to, quote, forgive 70 times 7, close quotes, that they knew something quite profound that had even been lost within the Jewish and Essene traditions of my day. For to forgive means to choose to release another from the perceptions I have been projecting upon them. It has nothing to do with them hurting me and me thinking I will let them off the hook. It has to do with my own perceptions and my veils of perception that I unwittingly use to hide from myself the truth of our nature as extensions of the creative energy and form. Everyone and everything is of the one mind. Forgiveness is therefore an act of dismantling forgiving my own perceptions, dismantling, putting down my own perceptions and my projections of images onto my mind's image of someone else. As you begin to forgive and dismantle false perceptions, even 70 times, seven times, each time I forgive, I take myself deeper into the purity of my own consciousness. I begin to see how profoundly I've been coloring and therefore affecting every one of my relationships. I haven't really had a relationship with the person in front of me. I'm having a relationship with my projected images of them in my own mind. I'm having a relationship with my upset perceptions, my distorted perceptions that lead to pain, fear, sadness, guilt, passion, longing, craving. That's what I'm having a relationship with. Awakening to the process of perception and projection is essential. Therefore, I learned, and I learned well, that forgiveness as a process of dismantling my false perceptions is an essential key to healing. The opposite of forgiveness is judgment. And judgment always leads to the belief in separation and guilt. Judgment will evoke a sense of guilt in the one that has been judged unless they are perfectly awake. But more than this, every time I judge anyone or anything, I have literally elicited that guilt within myself. I'm carrying around the energy of guilt. I'm carrying around the false belief of separation. I'm carrying around the conclusions that I'm bad or wrong or damaged. And then when I judge, it's resonating that energy and that belief within me. Because there must be a place within me yet still that knows the perfect purity of my brother and sister, that knows my perfect purity, and that can see quite clearly that everything that evolves and comes to arise within the human realm, these things are either the extension of love, cry for help and healing. So we've gone back and reread the first two pages of Lesson 3. We've moved through the first four pages and read two of them twice. Healing is about applying a tool to remove false perception. And when that application of the tool that removes false perception has completed its work, I will see through accurate perception there's nothing to heal. There was never any broken, damaged, or less than perfect entity as a spark of the consciousness of the one mind, of the Christ mind, ever in existence to begin with. When I see accurately, I understand all as well. So, we've got about 5 minutes left. 563-999-3581. You can call that number and press 1 and make a comment or a question. I will remind us that this is a Tuesday night, so that means there is a Mindshifter support group tonight and Thursday night. You can find out about how to join us there or pass that information along to somebody you think might benefit from it if you go to mindshiftersacademy.org. I will also mention that on the mindshiftersacademy.org, there's a new page called Way of Mastery on Mindshifters Radio with commentary, and that is almost up to date with the shows from January 10th through yesterday. I think there's one or two that are missing, and I will work on uploading them as time allows. So we're doing what we can to engage the process and make it accessible. And we thank you all for being here and participating in that process. It is It's an activity. It's a process that has its own reward and ripple effects of benefits. And we're grateful, as always, to all of you that choose to come along for the ride. I don't know how long it'll take to get through this third lesson that talks about forgiveness, but it is a pivotal piece in this work. It's what allowed me to introduce the Way of Mastery to the Mind Shifters support groups and the Mind Shifters radio, because it is, as I perceive it, exactly the same definition of forgiveness as in the Kabor's manuscript and in the Course in Miracles. And if you have a different perception of that, we'd be happy to hear about it. 563-999-3581. And today is, what is it, Tuesday, so there's another episode of the On Your Mind podcast that got released this morning. I just got a note from Dr. Jennifer Giordano, whose episode was released last week, and she said, we're thrilled with the podcast recording and have been sharing it through our site and on social media channels. Thank you so much for having us on the show. And there are just a host of other holistic practitioners, integrative psychiatrists, functional medicine, medical doctors and psychiatrists that have been interviewed on Mind Shifters Radio. I'm not Mind Shifters Radio, on the On Your Mind podcast hosted by Journey Stream, and that's available at journeystream.org/podcast. So there's another set of tools, another set of resources to help people understand that there is a way to find optimal health and well-being and help turn any mental health challenge into a transformational experience. And we hope you see fit to make that part of your toolkit and or pass that information along to others. So please feel free to join us tonight on the Mind Shifters support group and or pass the information along to somebody that might benefit. It's mindshiftersacademy.org website, and there's a separate login information page for both the Tuesday and Thursday group, so please tune into that, because we have had some people who've missed out on attending because they were trying to use Thursday's login on Tuesday or vice versa. So I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will hope to welcome Jeannie Rice.
Hi, thank you. Enjoyed listening to the reading today.
You're very welcome and deserving. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Tuesday, February the 8th, 2022. Call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And Michael will get in here with us in just a moment. He'll dial in. I'll direct you to our website, whyagain.org, and browse around. There is, we always say click the Start Here button or click the bullseye in the middle of the page. Both of those take you to where you will find every worksheet that we have. And if there is a worksheet or a poster or something that we've used and it's not showing up in there, please drop me a line and let me know, and I'll see if it's not something we use exclusively in an intensive, then I will get it up there on the website. And just let me know. My email is Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org. And I see a couple of hands up, and I'm going to click them just to see if they're left over from Dr. Tim's show or if they are actually waiting to speak to us. 541, you're on the air. Is this Julie?
Hi. Yeah, it's Julie. You can go ahead and check the others, but I just now came in on the queue. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fine. And let me see if Michael's having an issue getting signed in or not. Hold on. Okay. He is getting on right at this minute. And I told him we did already have a couple hands up. So we'll give him just a second to get signed in. So, Julie, I'll put you back on mute for a moment, and I'll click the other line. And it is area code 610. Is this Susan?
It is. I just wanted to say your website is fantastic. I hadn't visited it in a while, and I've been going back and forth. Finding the radio archives is fantastic. You just go there, and bingo, you can find it. And
awesome.
A lot of other things are really good, too. And I wanted to say Tim and I will not be at the Still Point this weekend. We have house guests, and also we have done the three-month thing, and we're going to stop at this point. So I just wanted to warn you about that. So
warn us.
Also, yeah, warn us. I know because we've been on regularly, and I just wanted you to know. So
okay,
also,
thank you.
How's your dad, and how are you?
Today's been an off day for me, but haven't been to see Dad yet. But met with my. Your Darth Vader breathing, Michael.
There's Darth Vader over there. Yeah, I could hear it in your voice, Jeannie, when you came on.
Yeah.
I thought, I hope you're okay.
Yeah, it's a down day for me, but
Sorry, brother
was here.
Healing crisis.
My brother was here most of yesterday, and he went to see my dad, and actually he showed us a video, which was very promising. One physical therapist, I mean, she will not take no for an answer. She, you know, some of them, they'll ask Dad, you know, why don't you do this? And sometimes he'll go, no, you know, like a little kid with a tantrum or something. And he does that with her, and she goes, okay, you say yes. And, you know, so she doesn't take no from him. And she actually had him on a walker yesterday, not the jack-up thing. And so that was really cool. Yeah. Now, you know, he was still having a lot of challenge with it, and there were two people holding him. But that's still a move forward from him just being on that body jack thing.
Well, that's
so that
good.
Was promising. Yeah.
Oh, that's
very
good.
Inspiring.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jeannie, I'll be keeping you in my thoughts. You're such a tender person. I bet you're picking up stuff all over the place. And Michael, stop talking about if she gets sorry about something, she has sorrow in her and all that stuff. And it's all almost like saying, you shouldn't be doing this. I know you don't mean that at all, but sometimes
no concept
I feel like
of that whatsoever.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Support
okay, well,
for healing, and
right.
Healing isn't always Dr. Feelgood, and enthusiasm and aliveness in the presence of one of those not-so Dr. Feelgood experiences is one of the things that raises the vibe and moves us through things faster. So,
yeah.
Not always as enthusiastic when one comes up for me, but, you know, that's part of the best when I need someone out there to be support for me.
All right. Well, I'll be thinking of you, Jeannie.
Thank you, sweetie.
All right. So that's it. I'll just listen.
Okay. Well,
nothing else
the
for
other
us, young lady?
Go ahead. I'll turn her back on.
No, that's okay.
All right.
Not anything else right now. Hey, thanks.
Cool. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, if I unmute myself, I meant to mute Susan on the switchboard, and I muted myself on the phone. Okay. I hit the wrong mute button. So the other hand up is Miss Julie, and she had actually raised her hand yesterday, and then she had somebody come to her house that she couldn't stay on the phone. So welcome back, Julie Matthews.
Glad you're here, young lady.
Let's see. Did I unmute?
You are unmuted now, loud and clear.
Great. Yeah, loud and clear.
So
wow.
How are you? What's happening?
Everything is amazing. I'm still in my process, but I finally was able to, thanks to you and thanks to me being open last week a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, to finally get to doing my work at the level that I've been so hungering and longing for, the nourishment from and just finally the achievement of the goal of doing it. You know, and so many things. I'm going to be talking kind of possibly disjointedly because I've just been taking so many notes, so many releases have been streaming through, and I feel like I'm coming back into my true being again, and able to handle things with my relationship, which was the crisis that, you know, required me to do my work, which my
Sweet.
Partner is an unknowing accomplice. Unwittingly, he is helping me accomplish my goals, which I see, and he's still hanging in there, which I would not have expected of him quite. So I'm very surprised, and yet, because you directed me, Michael, reminding me to go in and look at my own everythings that I was talking about with regard to him. And actually,
or at least what your mind told you was in regard to him.
Yes, my mind, yes. Thank you. And
yes.
I reached the point of being able to turn that around, and I'm seeing everything so differently. But the main thing, I guess, that helped initiate it was that I was trying to blame him and see him as cause and wanting him to take away the pain and responsibility for my interfering energies in my own mind.
And notice that's the very definition of denial.
Yes.
When I think or speak or I'm focused on something outside of me as a cause of something that's moving inside of me, I'm in denial. And that's the inhibitor of healing. And when you choose to focus on the truth inside, when you honor truth deeply enough and you focus on the truth inside, that's when you can grab those little suckers by the neck and throw them out.
Yeah. And
willingness.
Yeah. Pardon?
Willingness.
Willingly? Willingness, yes.
Willingly, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, and I mean, I did re-listen to a lot of the last many recent radio shows. And one of the suggestions you made to me was to go back into the codependence intensive that I did a couple years ago online with you, and many others did also. And so the first thing that I came across really was the Vimeo of Magda and Chuck doing their responsibility
Perfect.
Communication.
Perfect.
And that helped so much. I was actually in that a lot myself. Asking questions.
That was a powerful session,
with,
wasn't it?
Yeah. So for me to hear
powerful.
That again finally and get around to it, you know, see, that this is the thing, to finally just give my attention and my care to myself. And so I got so much out of that. And, oh, my God. So opening. This is also real when you really are there with it. So healing crises are not bad. There's just that overcoming the unwillingness and just saying, I have to surrender to this. This is, it's time.
Otherwise, I get to write the book. Why is this happening to me? Or why am I doing this to myself again?
It's so true. Oh, thank you for saying that, because that reminds me, one of the things I did come up against was looking, which you did suggest, I came up against looking at the patterns in my mother's life. And her, these energies were coming from her, the despair of not knowing what to do, not having the tools. And every time I say I don't know what to do, I know I have the tools. So I really can't fool myself this time, you know, and for my generational background with all my family. And so it's an interesting perspective to have. And I was able to basically cry like a baby, which was similar to, I recognized the energies of when I was a baby, and I had to brace myself for all the energies that were going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I feel like I'm doing now is coming out of the coping mechanisms and actually taking back my life. And
nice.
And just really seeing the patterns that developed in my life, like the 4 days of punishment in my room, my bedroom.
Right.
You know, it wasn't a horrible punishment, but so I was looking at, I mean, it had its effects, but now that I'm seeing them, I'm overcoming them. And I'm
to a young child.
Mm-hmm.
To a young child. The slightest punishment is horrible.
Well,
you know,
right.
it's kind of like, you know, a newborn child comes from the womb and they have skin that's never been touched. And the doctor, the nurse,
mm-hmm.
grabs his child by the feet, yanks its spine straight by turning it upside down. Remember, its spine has been in this curved position for 9 months and getting more and more pressure on that curve. It's straightened out, and the skin is probably as sensitive as, a, you know, maybe something like a first-degree burn, third-degree burn. And the child is grabbed and turned upside down and then slapped. That's a horrible assault to delicate flesh that's never been touched before. And the equivalent of that in the psyche of the child, this delicate psyche that is in the experience of itself as present love, and that pattern of present love is interrupted by an assault. And even if the assault is just a disapproving look from the parent that sends the child to their room, I mean, this parent, remember we talk about the power person dynamic, this parent is life itself to the child.
Yes.
And, you know, we look at it today and say, well, that wasn't really any big deal. But to the child who was that tender, it's a very big deal. It's a big dent in the psyche that in order to get back to our normal state has to be hammered out, has to be processed through. And you identified very well, you know, the power person dynamic where you absorbed all the energetic dynamics, as you said, that were going on around you. You know, the tender psyche of the child that relies on these two people who are enraged with each other, who are projecting, perhaps screaming, yelling, you know, maybe down to hitting. That's an horrendous energetic assault to the child.
Even in the womb, I think I got in touch with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because if I'm healing something in my generational background, it was there when my mom was pregnant, you know, and so I, you know, and there are all these tests of babies responding to music and everything, and all kinds of sounds and things. So I just
and if mom didn't want a baby, that not wanting, you know, like you don't have a place in my body, kind of energy is another horrendous assault
well,
to a child that's you know, supposed to be coming into a welcoming, warm, caring, cherishing, nurturing space that they're going to be matured, they're going to be supported and nurtured in until they reach the maturity where they go off and create their own lives. They're designed. And one of the things they've shown in research is that when a child, due to a violent environment, grows street smarts, you know, you get kids who are brought up in an attacking, horrendous environment. Man, they know how to survive on the street. But rarely do they rise intellectually, emotionally, relationally, and with intelligence, do they rise to the level of their potential. Because the child is designed to be in that nurturing space that whole time, developing the potential that's there. And if their energy is going into survival rather than developing, there's a whole lot that's lost. And that's something to be recouped and recovered as one engages in the healing process.
Well, yes. Yes, and my mother, I feel her energy wanted me, but my father's energy was there saying, you know, first of all, resenting, you know, almost like he was trapped. And then he put this demand on her, at least I heard this story, that I had to be born by the end of the year so I could at least be a tax write-off. And so that was, but see that I do see there was this conflict energy which resembles a pattern in my life that she wanted me, but she was being given the message not to want me or to push me into a box fitting someone else's agenda. And so just all of that was going on. So I have one more thing to say about that with regard to coping mechanisms, but I'll hold for a moment while you respond.
Well, if you remember the show the other day, I talked about the download that I got regarding Ari Rain and the fact that, you know, most parents literally hold a metaphorical mold that they want the child to grow into.
Mm-hmm.
And every dent, so to speak, that the child, or pardon me, that the adult has experienced will tend to be part of that mold. And the adult who doesn't know any better tries to hammer the child into that mode, force the child into that mold, pardon me, and that distorts the true form of the child, where our job is not to shape the child, but to hold a space that receives the true form of the child intact, a space that's free of the past, free of distortions, literally a space of active love, that embraces the truth of the child and supports the fullness of that child's incarnation.
Yeah.
And so as we then choose to recover our true identity, the work is to hammer out the dents in the mold. Which could be
hammering.
Things like, you know, the hammering, literally, the forgiveness process is, you know, think of it as an automobile with dents in it. You're on the inside knocking those things back out again and dealing with them, feeling them, experiencing them.
How about exerting loving energy towards them?
And sometimes
really
it gets to be pretty hammering.
Okay. Oh, well. Yes, and this is similar to what you caught me on last week about. I was complaining I didn't want to be put into a box, right? Old energies,
a mold,
having already been hammered into me. Yes, and you slightly, you know, subtly, carefully suggested to me that maybe I was trying to put him into the box. my box the way I thought it should
be. I didn't think I was very subtle.
That was big. I needed that. Yes, I needed that. Yeah, so in truth, too, because just being in denial of truth, I can't live like that. I know better. And yet something in me was just so adamantly attached to it was all him. And so I noticed that my hostility, I was in denial of my own hostility and camouflaging it to look like him. And I saw that I set myself up to believe that I actually could hide from my own hostility by being in a relationship with someone whom I saw as more hostile than me or any human being I'd ever met.
Well, you're more hostile than me, so there.
Yeah, and why hide? So anyway, I finally actually did apologize to him and took responsibility for those things.
Wow.
that I had wanted to project onto him my pain and blame him for my pain, and now I saw that I wanted him to take responsibility for my pain, and I recognized that I can't do that it's mine, and I need to acknowledge my own issues, and that I was going to not do that anymore with him. I didn't know how to say it without the word not, but I am working on it.
So what would
be the
replacement for that?
Instead of trying to blame you and make you responsible for my issues and the pain that I create from those energies, instead of doing that, I would like to be more responsible with you in communicating the truth and asking for your support in my healing, your support in me being responsible for healing what I need to heal. Something like that. That was better, wasn't it?
That's it. You're on it. That's it, exactly.
Okay.
Awesome.
And so I also wanted to say, okay, I tended to blame him for being a narcissist. And that's a label, and I know that. And I had heard, you know, from him that his father was a narcissist, and everybody, I guess, knew that in the family. And so that's interesting to me that there's that awareness in him. But again, I was hiding my own narcissism behind his, you know, what I thought he would let me hide from, you know, because he doesn't work that way. His consciousness doesn't work that way. So I couldn't hide, and that's good. But what I wanted to say also is that I think I'm seeing the difference between coping mechanisms and how present-day psychology and spiritual approaches even to all these things that we experience as troubles in our lives, that they're set up to point the finger at the person we're having the relationship with and who they are. They're narcissists, and so here's how we will adapt to that, you know, and make sure we take care of ourselves within that context. And that's not it. The only way I can take care of myself is clear these energies out of my mind, and then that assists everything and everyone. So I'm doing
precisely.
It
that's awesome. And to remember that I need to honor truth enough. I need to be, you know, when you think of the personal code evaluation, I want to have my honor of truth score right up there near the very top, along with honoring others and self, so that I can grasp that energy within myself instead of going through. You remember in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, the top of the board, we've got that deny, dissociate, project. So when I think or speak as though they're the cause of what's moving inside of me, I dissociate from the cause, I hide the cause, which means I get stuck with the cause, and it now impacts me physiologically. And then, having dissociated from that, there they are resonating what I've dissociated from. So now I use that dissociated content to build my brain's picture of them. And now I have the cycle complete. See, I can see them doing it to me. And that's all a construct of the mind. I need to recognize what I'm feeling is mine. And the truth is, it's about me. It's not about them. And it's a huge trick of the mind to overcome. I mean, it's been going on for so many centuries on planet Earth and still is in, you know, true living color and Dolby sound all around us in the culture.
Well, and then we're also taught as a coping mechanism to love ourselves and forgive ourselves and them and this and that. And what it turned out to be for me is that I just had to sit down and breathe and be with it and be a space of love, you know, and acknowledge that I am love and that I was going to get back in touch with that, even though I was going through how bad it felt on the way going in, letting it feel the way it truthfully is. And now, on the way going out, I at least had that tool, and I took a lot of notes. I couldn't even find a worksheet to write it out on. I just used paper and wrote everything as it came, and it just kept unraveling. So, anyway.
Delightful piece of work to hear about. That's just.
And I'm looking forward to more. And I have to say that day, Friday, I guess, you did a meditation or something for this beautiful child that we are. I can't remember any words right now, but I re-listened to it and I just was out for the whole thing. I just went out. And but I knew I'd listened to it. And I knew that I felt calmer, and it gave me encouragement to be with that, whatever it was then, and remembering that it's the past, and I'm more committed to releasing it consciously, so I want to see it, releasing it as a fundamental factor of creative energy that I keep creating realities from. I have to re-listen to that whole day, that radio show again. I think it was Friday.
Yeah.
And then I also listened to the hour before with my Dr. Tim because, you know,
Ryan.
He's so aligned. It's all energetically aligned for me to wake up. So I'm seeing my wake up everywhere.
And remember that.
Great. Go ahead.
The task of the adult, remember, was to hold to the presence of love. And that then is the mold into which the essence of the child is poured. And we're redoing that whole process now in adulthood. The essence of the child is poured, and the mold is formed by the truth of the child, not child limited by the form of the mold. So it's reversing the healing process, reverses the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Which is something our society would never accept, that the child would know how to run their life.
Yeah.
And you know what else is so amazing that gave me encouragement? In the last few months, I've been meeting parents in the area who have six-year-olds. I have six-year-old energy coming into my life. And they're just beautiful beings. Two of them are twin boys. And the other one is a new boy that will be starting this week with me. And I just happened to meet the father in the line at the post office. And so there's all this alignment of harmonious energies coming into place and because I'm allowing that truth to be acceptable and applicable in my life now.
Sweet.
That which is
I wish you were closer.
Yeah.
I wish you were closer. This morning I was listening to a presentation by an astrophysicist who was explaining oneness from the point of view of an astrophysicist. And one of the things he talked about and that he used as an example was the piano and how his childish mom made him learn the piano and how thankful he was and seeing that as like a whole new expression on earth. I didn't realize that the piano hadn't been invented until somewhere around 1700. And he was talking about, you know, there's an expression, a beautiful, powerful expression that wasn't even possible. And that it embodied, you know, all of the things that went before it, the learning and the understanding of stringed instruments, the mechanics of building the device, then the skill of playing it, and how that created a whole new expression. I was thinking, we probably need to get Aria into piano lessons. It's probably time soon if she's willing to put that invitation before her, even at 4 or 3.5.
Yes. Wow, I'd be willing to move out to where you are to teach her. Woo, I would. I could at least get her going and then teach her on Zoom, too, because COVID pandemic taught me how to be a teacher online, which is great. You know, I overcame some of my whatever I needed to learn.
Right.
So, I would love to. I felt that about her from the very beginning. So there's a lot of joy there.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, maybe at some point we can set up a Zoom session and she can sit in front of the piano and just hear some thoughts. And again, if she's willing, if it's something, you know, basically what we do is we put things before her, many things, and the one she's ready for, like, you know, one we've talked about a lot is anatomy and physiology. I mean, she just is voracious in consuming information about anatomy and physiology. She enjoyed the movie The Big Red Dog. Her parents took her to see it. So he said, well, do you want to watch this? No, I want to watch about the body. I want to watch Dr. Binoc. You know, so she's right.
And yesterday,
you know, so we put things before her. Go ahead, sweetie.
Yesterday was the first day that she was interested in learning to write. You know, we've attempted to get her to write letters and things like that. And yesterday was the first day, and she spent about 30 minutes with it. And I actually got her to spell the letters of her name. It was really cute. I mean, they didn't, you know, they weren't perfect letters or anything like that, but it was really sweet. So.
Weren't you doing Valentine's? I think I remember
that. That's what we were. I was attempting to get her to sign the Valentine cards. And we did,
cute.
You know, feet and hands on the Valentines. And then I was, you know, wanting her to sign her name on them. And so that was where that came in.
We were explaining we wanted to sign our Valentine's cards so people would know who they came from. And so if she wanted to do that, she could sign them. And then, you know, she's got a couple of little friends she was giving Valentine's to, and her mom and dad and G-Pop and Nene and I. And so if she signed it, then everybody would know who it came from. So that spawned her interest or stirred her interest. And, yeah, I want to write letters. So.
Well, cool. I'm going to send you guys a picture of my piano I'm so lucky. I have this piano that it's an upright piano. It's made by Yamaha, and it has a clear plexiglass case in the vertical position so that you can see inside the piano while it's operating, while you're playing it.
Oh, really?
So
that's cool.
You can see all the hammers and everything hitting and moving, and these two twin boys are like, so fascinated by it, you know, and I'm telling them that this came way before anything electronic, you know, and I might mention to you guys that did you buy a piano, or you have a keyboard, or what do you have?
We have an upright piano here in the house. It's been here for years.
It was my mom's.
A real one. Okay, good. You have a real piano.
Yeah.
Because the real pianos are made of wood, which most musical instruments, a lot of them are made from wood, because the wood transmits the sound waves really well. It helps project the sound, but also
right.
you feel the aliveness of the piano. When your hands touch and play, your foot is on the pedal, you feel the vibration go through your whole body, and so you feel that aliveness, that alive energy, you know, and it's just this beautiful relationship of your energy with the instrument's energy. And so that I recommend those real pianos, because the plastic pianos, the keyboards are made out of plastic, and no matter how gadgety and gimmicky and fascinating
no
they are, yes, it's a dull
yeah.
touch.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Makes sense.
There you go.
Yay.
You got to stay with what's alive in your life. And
yes.
not what culture brings you always necessarily.
So, I hear you loud and clear.
Well, anyway, I hate to dominate the show right now, but I needed to give you some feedback on this miracle after miracle and shedding quite a bit of energy, energetic old stuff, and moving into a much better space. And I appreciate your support.
Nice work. That's
week.
Just awesome. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Okay.
Nice. That's what a contribution.
Thank you.
Millions yet unborn
yeah.
will be touched by the opening you've created energetically.
Well, I also want to thank Magda. I did. She texted me and gave me some really good support too. And so
nice.
Because
yay, Magda.
Yay, Magda. Yes.
She's
okay,
been doing some
of,
awesome work.
Oh, she has. I just all of us. Anyone who takes this work up and trust whatever is true is where to really focus. Because I've been many years of, you know, I could judge it as not doing the work, but, and I hear people on the show sometimes saying they're not doing it right or good enough. And, you know, it's just like so, there's always a glimpse of something good that comes from doing the work, and it keeps building until the reality is much stronger than the old realities. So I encourage everybody to and look at you, Michael, and you, Jeannie. You've been doing it for so long, and now you're passing it on to others, including your grandchildren. Wow. It's so beautiful to
we
see
are blessed.
Unfold. Okay, I'm going to pause and let someone
cool.
else come
all
in.
Right,
and thank
lady.
You so much. All right, bye. I'll be on.
Sweet. Blessings.
I'll be listening. Mm-hmm, thanks.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Great review, great piece of work. And, you know, you've heard me say so many times that for someone to move out of the inertia-bound understandings of the culture into what's really conceivable and possible with this work takes 5 to 10 years of serious engagement. It's just what it takes. It's that monumentally different in the mind energy of the culture. And as long as we refuse to face and process out the mind energy of the culture, then the inertia of that will tend to keep dragging us along with it. And, you know, through resonance. And when I give that up, then I can start to move in a different direction. And it's just exactly, truly what you're talking about, what you're saying is the shifts are beyond comprehensible. And, you know, the lows that you have to delve into, which you were delving into last week, are part of the process. It's not Dr. Feelgood. And to me, that's one of the reasons for support. You know, you look at that story of Yeshua and the woman who knew that if she could touch the hem of his garment, which didn't mean she could touch cloth that he was wearing, but rather step into an empowered energy field which he carried, that she would be uplifted in her process. And that's the reason for this show, that we're here to join in creating an uplifted, empowered hem of the garment, so to speak, an energy field that anyone can touch into and be uplifted in doing the process when they're at the pit. And visiting the pit is just one of the steps and one of the stages in the process. It's the one that most people don't want to go to, but when I'm willing to take responsibility and own You know, and that to me, Julie, is the major shift that you made. Instead of I'm in the blame game, I'm denying ownership for what's going on inside of me, I'm dissociating from its cause and I'm projecting it, and I can talk about everybody else and something outside of me being cause. But when I really step into responsibility communication, when I really own that, and I want to acknowledge Magda and Chuck for the awesome work that they did in that communication section in the codependence to interdependence intensive, because it was very inspiring. And in fact, so inspiring that, you know, the communication worksheet had actually been established. I've been using the same one verbatim for more than 15 years. And that session, thank you again, Magda, because of your querying mind and your willingness and the work you had done with the communication tool over the years, opened the space. And I'm actually still working on the renovation of that worksheet. It's up to 3 pages, and it looks like it might end up being 4 by the time I'm finished it. So major, major shift and change from that one session with you, Magda and Chuck. So thank you both. It was powerful and empowering. So we've got about, I don't know, 17 or 18 minutes left. So if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we cannot see you, is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you have a question, a thought, something to share, push 1, raise his hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will see that you want to talk to us and introduce you by your area code. So if you're out there in listener land, and we had just had this conversation, you know, Jeannie and Julie, myself, been on a platform and we stepped down, what would you be walking over to Julie and saying to her? What would you be walking over to Jeannie or to myself and saying about this conversation? That's the purpose of this show. Your questioning mind is a major contribution that can take us into areas that we've never thought of going. And when you open that gate, it's a gift for everyone in the community. So push 1. Let's have a conversation. How can we support you? 563-999-3581. Every time I say the phone number, I think about the early days with Aria in the background when she learned the phone number, and Jeannie would be giving it, and Aria would pipe up with 999. So how can we support you? What's on your mind?
Julie just sent the pictures of her piano, and that is absolutely gorgeous. I love it.
Oh, well, send it to me too, Julie. I didn't get it. So it's clear, like acrylic type thing? Or?
Yeah.
It's open to...
And it shows that she sent it to you.
Oh, well, it hasn't shown up yet, so maybe it'll come.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it an email or a text?
It was a text. And actually, it shows like it went into Mind Shifters Radio, so I'll forward it to you.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yes, it's like, what was it? About an hour and a half ago, you were on the Avison, and I was listening to this astrophysicist, and he talked about the piano in use is one of the examples that demonstrates the oneness, the way that we've built our lives in an intertwined way. And he used the piano as the idea of it's another brush in the palette of colors that we can now use in creative expression that impacts everybody. I thought that was a powerful way to speak about it. Wow, very cool. Well, we can't show it to everybody, but the whole internal mechanism is visible. That's pretty sweet. Awesome. So how can we support you? If you're out there listening, come on in the conversation. Say hello. Even if you've
we
just got something to share. Oh, great. Let's go for it.
808, you're on the air.
Oh.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I know that's Hawaii, 808.
That's right. It is. I just wanted to comment on listening to Julie talk about the piano and how precious the wood is in the experience of the instrument and how the energy flows through that. You know, I mean, wood is designed to have energy flow through it, you know. And I always had a baby grand piano my whole life around me, but now I don't. I have like a keyboard thing that's made out of some kind of man-made something or other, and it's just not the
right.
same. So
not
yeah,
the same, right?
No, you just don't. You don't feel that connection that Julie was. Julie, you described that so beautifully. I really just really enjoyed hearing you talk about, you know, I mean, she's an expert on the piano and for sure and certain. So I just wanted to thank you for that, you know, for the program.
Cool.
Also for Julie's contribution about the piano. So that's all.
Nothing like a little appreciation for our friends, is there?
Yeah, really. And it sort of opened a window of awareness to help me understand why I don't relate to this instrument. It's the footboard
right.
of my bed. And that's about all it is, because I almost never play it. Of course, I refused. I had 2 years of piano lessons. But my brother was 9 years older than I, and he turned out to be a concert pianist until he became a composer. So I was so intimidated because I was so much younger than him, and it was embarrassing to practice, so I wouldn't practice. And my piano mm-hmm. teacher said, bring your mother to your next lesson. So I brought my mother, and she said, Mrs. Tenney, your daughter won't practice. I can't teach her. So that's what happened to my piano experience. But I've always treasured it because as a singer, you really need the piano to interact with. And so,
right.
So very precious, very precious thing.
Cool. Think? Sweet.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Well, you know, we have a lot of conversation going on the planet right now about carbon dioxide and how we have an excess of carbon dioxide and how it's destroying the environment and climate change and all of that sort of stuff. And this just opens another little way that everything is connected for me, and that is that wood, and I just learned this recently, you know, we've been doing a lot of gardening research with the gardening that we've been getting going the last year or two. And I learned in some of that wood is actually carbon dioxide that has been transformed by photosynthesis in the plant. That's what makes wood. It's carbon dioxide. And oxygen the same. Through photosynthesis, that's how we get the oxygen that trees put off that allow us to breathe. And, you know, just interesting how the oneness of it all, how it's all tied together in this invisible web of energy that takes on the appearance of so many forms. I mean, who would think carbon dioxide, the waste gas that we breathe out as a waste product, is what turns into a tree when it's acted upon by the sun and engaged in the process of photosynthesis. You know, it's mind-boggling when you put it all together.
Yeah. One thing that I thought of as I was listening to the program this morning is the fact that what I'm noticing is that the reality of the oneness of our existence with all of humanity and all of creation is becoming more and more prevalent from every direction. No matter, I keep hearing people talk about the oneness, and they didn't used to, but
right.
It's becoming prime. It's becoming foremost in people's awareness, and of course we hear news from all over planet Earth now. It's kind of normal. You know, we never knew what was going on the other side of the planet 100 years ago. We practically didn't, but it's just such a wonderful time to be alive, and the possibility.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the possibilities are, but I can feel them vibrating with excitement in my heart when I think about the possibilities of what we can, of where we're going. We're going someplace very rapidly, I think, and COVID is partly responsible for that, because as I was sharing earlier, I've been so isolated, but that isolation, you know, I remember when March of 2020 occurred, I walked in my apartment one day, and the still small voice said, my cave in the Himalayas. And that's basically where I've been all this time, making sure that I've been safe during COVID. It's almost 2 years now. But it's been a fabulous opportunity to know myself on a deeper, more pure level.
Right.
And I'm sure it's true for all of us, sometimes we don't even have to be aware of it, but it can be going on, that our relationship to ourselves is deepening. And I think, I don't know, I just think it's a really exciting time to be alive.
It absolutely is. You might want to go on YouTube and search for the title "Everything Is Connected" by Tom Chi, T-O-M-C-H-I. Everything is connected. This is the astrophysicist I was talking about. He brings up the piano, but he really ties together the whole creation from and proves oneness from the point of view of a guy who's an astrophysicist. So it's just an interesting, different slant on the conversation, and a powerful one.
And how did you spell his last name?
C-H-I. It's like the Oriental idea of Chi, Tom Chi. Everything is connected.
Oh, I see. That's great.
It's a TED Talk.
Yeah. Oh, it's a TED Talk. I always enjoy those. Yeah. It's just long enough. They're not too long, so you get bored. But, you know, I'm a retired divine science minister, and I just am realizing I'm particularly madly in love with the principle of oneness, and because that's sort of the basic spine of the divine science movement, is that awareness. So I just realized that.
Cool. Sweet. All right. Well, any other thoughts for you, young lady? All right. You have a blessed one.
Just gratitude. Thank you very much.
All right. Joining you in gratitude.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Aloha,
bye-bye.
Aloha, everybody.
Aloha.
Okay.
How sweet it is. So we've got about 5 minutes left if you're out there in listener land. If you push one, we'll be having a conversation. And if you don't push one, if nobody's going to push one, then I'm just going to say that, you know, if you're not doing your forgiveness work, if you haven't engaged the forgiveness tools yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org, and there you'll find a link where you can engage in and do the forgiveness process, the worksheet process, step by step right there online, and then print it if you choose to keep it totally, completely private. You can go to your app store on your phone and put in the search term Heartland, H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. You can download that free. It's a totally, completely private app with as few permissions as is possible to have an app work on a phone. That is, there's only one permission required. That is to allow the app to access the internet through the phone. And if you choose to print your worksheet at the end of it, then it'll ask you for permission to write it to your drive. Otherwise, there are no permissions required. We purposely made it as private as we possibly could so you could put in anything and trust that your information is safe and secure and only belongs to you. Beyond that, if you're interested in moving your work to the next level, we do have a Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing workshop that will happen this Saturday starting at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And if you are not registered for that and you'd like to participate, you could call myself or Jeannie, or you could drop Jeannie a note at J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org. Put your phone number in there and I'll be calling you to get set up to do it if you want to participate. And if you are a new participant, we will be sending you as part of your registration links to two different videos and an audio track that explain the process and the Mind Shifter tool in particular. And we'll encourage you to put Mind Shifter tool to work prior to the workshop, so that which will start on 10 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday morning. And then on Tuesday evening at 7, we'll have a second session that will complete the Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing workshop for this month. We're doing one weekend per month, and one Tuesday, or one Saturday, and one Tuesday evening. So if you're interested in joining us, you could do that. And we have a year-long program. If you want to participate, you can sign up for a year, or you can do just one session, or you can do a package of three sessions. Also, if you're really ready to take it all to the next level, we have tied together the video work of two different codependence to interdependence communication practicum workshops that include 90 hours of Zoom video of live interactive workshops that we've done with two different groups of people. So all of the teaching is there from both intensives, and the workshops, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, on the Aramaic Forgiveness Process, Healing Through Relationships, Communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said, and Codependence to Interdependence, as well as the Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing. So if you're interested in doing a self-study of that intensive, that's also available. And you can pace yourself with that 90 hours of video. And you might do it, you know, in very short order if you're really ready to rock and roll, or you might spread it over a year or even two. That's really dives deep into the communication process, why and how relationships function the way they do, and how the forgiveness process operates. And then we have this new codependent power person worksheet included in the workshop as well. So a new tool for awakening from the past. So if you're interested in participating in that, please, again, you can contact Jeannie or I if you have our phone numbers, and or you're certainly welcome to drop Jeannie an email, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, include your phone number, and I'll give you a call, and we'll get it set up if you want to play. Other than that, we hold the space for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You can give it. Thanks for being here. Blessings. And Julie, thank you for doing that level of work.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.